Lecture topic, Omar al-Khattab, Vision for the Advancement of the Community, Part 2.
فَمَا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ أَرْمِيَ عَنْ قَوْسٍ لَيْسَ لَهَا وَتْرٌ. Why should I release when I'm not hitting target? Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said, the thing that haunts me the most is that I must stand before Allah on the day of Qiyamah and Allah must ask me, how much have you practiced of what you acquired? Then he said, every verse in the Quran will come. فَتَشْهَدُ الْآمِرَةُ أَنِّي لَمْ أَفْعَلْ وَتَشْهَدُ الزَّاجِرَةُ أَنِّي لَمْ أَنْتَهِ أَفَأُتْرَكُ. Then will come all the verses that I memorized. I've committed to memory. I've written this thesis. I've written this. I've studied this. I've got this degree, that faculty, this institution. Every verse of the Quran will come and haunt me, in which Allah had instructed me when I did not comply. And every prohibition in the Quran would come and challenge me, where Allah had told me to abstain and I did not abstain. So this is the nutshell that outlines the three great qualities in these three great Sahaba that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was screaming out with. Now there's yet another Sahabi that I have come across in my limited reading, whom Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu called out for as well in the latter part of his Khilafah. And he said, I wish I had the assistance of this man on my side. I could have done great wonders if he was still alive, but he's moved on. And that was none other than Umair ibn Sa'd radiallahu anhu. And briefly, I walk you through his life and do some anecdotal reference from his life so that we can internalize and imbibe it and effect change in our life. That's the thing. Do something immediately and make the change. They say, between the hopes of tomorrow and the regrets of yesterday, surely lies the opportunities of today. Between the hope of tomorrow, tomorrow is this dream, tomorrow is this vision. They say in English, the devil has no problem with your noble endeavors as long as it's for tomorrow. The devil's got no worries. Tomorrow I'm going to reform the world. Tomorrow I will revolutionize the world. Tomorrow I will become a saint. You can claim anything and everything. You can't build your reputation on what you will do. Your reputation is on what you've done. You're going to propose, like, brother, are you good? No, no, but inshallah, sister, give me a fair chance. Sister, just you wait and see what I'm going to do. I'm going to be this awesome young man. I promise you, I'm going to be this amazing guy. You cannot create a foundation on what you're going to do. Between the hope of tomorrow and the regret of yesterday lies the opportunity of today, my brother. Strike, exploit, capitalize. So here comes the appointment of a governor for the place, Hims. And again, if you read the papers and you see what's happening at this very moment, the carnage that's been played out, the brutality, the massacre, the killing, the looting, it just gives a person an absolute shiver in the body. It's sad that we haven't lost the taste of our food. We continue to eat. We continue to indulge. And nothing seriously happens to us. Nothing seriously. Hassan Basri rahimahullah, at the time of iftar, he was hungry, a long day. It's at dusk. He needs to eat and break his fast. And just then he overhears somebody reciting a verse of the Quran. And what is the verse of the Quran? Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the food of the dwellers and the occupants of hell. وَطَعَامًا ذَا غُصَّةٍ وَعَذَابًا أَلِيمًا وَطَعَامًا ذَا غُصَّةٍ وَعَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. Food that is not palatable, food that is not edible, food that will not get beneath your throat. This ayah struck a reality in him that he lost the taste and he couldn't eat his meal. Anyway, he lived the ayah. He reflected the ayah. He vividly projected the ayah. The entire night goes. The next day he observes the fast. Comes back iftar time. Again, the same ayah strikes him and he doesn't eat. The practice continues for 3 days. They get hold of Thabit Banani and they say, you are the only man that can compel this man to eat. 3 days has lapsed, nothing edible has got into his system. This is how personally he took the warning of this ayah. I say to you, my brother, how personal do we take the crisis of the ummah? In Arabic, they say, جَزْعُكَ فِي مُصِيبَةِ أَخِيكَ خَيْرٌ مِّن صَبْرِكَ وَصَبْرُكَ فِي مُصِيبَتِكَ خَيْرٌ مِّن جَزْعِكَ. It's always better to react on the pain of others and to be silent on your own pain. In English, they say, keep your fears to yourself, but share your courage with others. And let the fears of others be known to all. Today, I'm harping on my fears. I'm in this pain and this agony. And I don't care less about the pain and the agony and the trauma of the ummah. May Allah let peace reign in the entire world. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu has to nominate a governor for Hims. نَثَرَ كِنَانَةَ رِجَالِهِ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. I love this ta'bir in the Arabic language. He kind of opens up the arrows of men in his quiver. عَجَمَ عِيدَانَهَا عُودًا عُودًا. He hand selects. And who stands out like a bright light? None other than the giant Umair ibn Sa'd radiallahu anhu. And he said, Umair, this is in your lot. You will go and take care of this place here. This was the kind of talent each man would exhibit. And you could delegate and then you could sign with relief. Because these men carried that capacity to take care of it. And there's so many incidents when you look at Sahaba, how they could dissolve such critical issues in minutes because of the trust and the element of capability to whom they were entrusted. So anyway, Umair ibn Sa'd radiallahu anhu goes, he comes to Hims, he delivers his inaugural speech, he performs the prayer, he gathers the people in the masjid, he praises Allah, Hamid Allah salla alayhi. Then he says, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّ الْإِسْلَامَ حِسْنٌ مَنِيعٌ. Islam is a solid fort. وَبَابُهُ الْحَقُّ. And the door that leads to the fort of Islam is honesty and truthfulness. فَإِذَا دُكَّ الْبَابِ. If you lack honesty and you are devoid of loyalty and there is a vacuum of transparency in the ummah, then surely the walls of this fort are going to cave and collapse. And this entire structure is going to give in. And today that's exactly what has happened. Honesty has become far-fetched and gone, disappeared into thin air. He spends a long year in Hims, engaging with the people, ruling with the people, delivering to the people, understanding the responsibility on his shoulders. In the entire year, Umar radiallahu anhu doesn't hear much from him. No reference, no correspondence, no communication. So, أَخَذَتِ الشُّكُوكُ تُسَاوِرُ عُمَرْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ إِذْ كَانَ شَدِيدَ الْخَشْيَةِ عَلَى وُلَادِهِ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْعِمَارَةِ. Suspicion gets the better of Umar رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. I wonder if he has lost his vision in his post, or is he still on track? I was saying to one brother, I said, some complain that they lose their navigation, lose a signal. Some of us have lost our whole device, never mind signal. One is to say, you know what, this thing loses signal every little while, I don't know how to keep on track. You talk of concentration span. Look at the average man's spiritual span. Concentration span is 20 minutes, half an hour. We have no spiritual span. We barely bid farewell to Ramadan and it's all dissolved. We've lost our whole device, leave alone signal. So it started bothering him, and Umar said, I wonder if this man is still on focus. So Umar radiallahu anhu wrote a letter to him, and he said to him, he called his scribe and he said, write that when he receives my letter, he must come to me immediately. وَحْمِلْ مَعَكَ مَا جَبَيْتَ مِنْ فَيْءِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And whatever revenue you have amassed, please bring it forward. So suddenly, unexpected, he receives this note that he has been summoned. Now, how transparent do we live if the revenue man is behind you, or the tax man is behind you, or suddenly somebody calls for your audits? Are you ready to respond to the moment, immediately at the time? And I often share this here, and it just makes me tear, and tears well in my eyes, where there was this great person. He one day sat down great, prominent, pious people, and he interviewed them. And he asked each one of them, what is your spiritual wish list? That if you were told you won't see the sun setting today, what would you like to do in the remaining hours of your day? A great question, right? Profound indeed. So brother, you are told that this is the last day, you won't see the sunset. How would you like to spend the last moments if you're fortunate enough to be informed? وَمَنْ كُتِبَتْ مَنِيَّتُهُ بِأَرْضٍ فَلَيْسَ يَمُوتُ فِي أَرْضٍ سِوَاهَا. Wherever death has been decreed, you will not die elsewhere, and you'll get no signal in advance. But if hypothetically fortune is on your side, and you've been privileged to be informed and kept aware and kept abreast of your inevitable death, how would you like to spend those moments? He said, I would love to be in Makkah, engaging in circumambulation, performing a circuit around the house of Allah and the angel of death to meet me and die in that state. That would be awesome. Brilliant. Brother, what would you like? I would love to be close to my mom and press her feet and massage her feet and take her prayers and win her confidence. Great. Brother, what about you? I would be loved to assist in one orphan, helping him, assisting him. Where a person came to the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَنَّ رَجُلًا شَكَى قَصْوَةَ قَلْبٍ. And he said, my heart has become insensitive. I've lost the touch of crying. I've lost tears in my eyes. I really feel terrible about this. What can I do? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, associate yourself with the widows and the orphans, and you will see this will create and kindle the spark in you. And he said, I started helping the orphans, and then I would tear uncontrollably, and I would sob one way. امسح رأس اليتيم وأطعم المسكين. امسح رأس اليتيم وأطعم المسكين. And then he asked one particular scholar that was sitting there, who was a muhaddith. He said, Sheikh, what about yourself? What would you do? And there was a moment of silence. And he said, no, be kind enough to tell us. He said, if I am told it's my last day, I will do nothing different to my daily routine. I will do nothing different to my daily routine because I live every day as it's my last day. And my plea and my cry in all my humble talks is, if you're not fortunate enough to leave a legacy of good, at least delete a trail of evil. At least get rid of all those nasty and haram and illicit contacts and all that forbidden relations that you have. Because that's more important. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى وَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا وَآثَارَهُمْ. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. We revive the dead. وَنَكْتُبُ, we record. مَا قَدَّمُوا, what you send forth. وَآثَارَهُمْ, and the traces you left behind. So it's just not the action, but the trail and the traces you leave behind of that action that equally will have positive or negative consequences on the day of Qiyamah. Anyway, Umar radiallahu anhu, he received the note of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. What's the note of Sayyidina Umar? Come immediately. So how does he come? حَمَلَ عَلَىٰ عَاتِقِهِ قَصْعَتَهُ. He takes his platter. أَخَذَ جِرَابَ زَادِهِ. He takes his spoon. أَمْسَكَ بِيَدِهِ حَرْبَتَهُ. He takes his staff. وفي يده وعاء لوضوئه وشرابه. His vessel for water and for ablution, and off he goes. He arrives in Medina. شحب لونه. His face is pale. His body is frail. He's quite exhausted and fatigue is apparent on his body. دهش الفاروق من حالته. Umar radiallahu anhu is shocked beyond imagination at the weak and frail state of one of his governors appointed by him. مَا بِكَ يَا عُمَيْرِ. Umar, what's the matter with you? All in order? He says, of course. فَأَنَا صَحِيحٌ مُعَافًا بِحَمْدِ اللَّهِ. أَحْمِلُ مَعِي الدُّنْيَا كُلَّهَا. I'm in good spirit. I practically own the whole world and whatever it has to offer. I practically own the whole world and whatever it has to offer. Umar is excited. If somebody says, brother, I need to meet you, I got an envelope for you. You never think he's going to give you an invoice or a statement. Your mind is doing tricks. I got an envelope to give you. Oh man, I never thought it's a statement. Brother, in future, you know what? Don't tell me an envelope. Tell me you got a statement to give me. Tell me you got an invoice to drop off. Tell me it's a payment that needs to be settled. I'm carrying the whole world with me. وَهُوَ يَظُنُّ أَنَّهُ يَحْمِلُ مَالًا لِبَيْتِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Umar radiallahu anhu assumes that perhaps there's some handsome revenue coming to the national treasury. So مَا مَعَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Umar, what are you carrying with you? مَعِي زَادِي. I've got my food. وَمَعِي قَصْعَتِي أَكُلُ فِيهَا. I have my platter from which I eat. وَمَعِي قِرْبَةٌ لِوُذُوئِي. and I have my vessel from which I make ablution and I sip water as I feel thirsty. ثم إن الدنيا كلها تبع لهذا. Then anyone and everyone who owns anything besides this is just a fancy version of what I have. Wow. Wow. This is awesome. Anyone and everyone who owns more than this is a fancy version of what I have. Nothing more than this. So we were driving with this brother and he said, Sheikh, this car is like this and everything. I said, can you say coffee and it gives you coffee? He said, no, it cannot do that, but when you're tired, it shows you a coffee sign. I'm like, no, man. You're kidding. So he, you know, like if you're exhausted and you're a bit lame and you're droopy, so it gives you like, you know, park off and get to a gas station and drink some coffee. I'm like, do you need to spend so much to get a coffee sign? For a coffee sign, are you so cheap that you can be bored away with this and thrilled and fascinated with this? ثُمَّ إِنَّ الدُّنْيَا كُلَّهَا تَبْعٌ لِهَذَا. The word in its entirety is just a fancy version of what I have and nothing more. جِئْتَ مَاشِيًا. Have you come walking? Yes, جِئْتُ مَاشِيًا. أَمَا أُعْطِيتَ مِنَ الْإِمَارَةِ دَبَّةً تَرْكَبُهَا. Were you not provided with a state conveyance? Look at how simple they were. هُمْ لَمْ يُعْتُونِي وَأَنَا لَمْ أَتْلُبْ مِنْهُمْ. They didn't provide, I didn't request. They didn't provide, I didn't request. أَيْنَمَا أَتَيْتَ بِهِ لِبَيْتِ الْمَالِ. In terms of revenue, what revenue have you brought? مَا أَتَيْتُ بِشَيْءٍ. I don't own a dime. My pockets are dry. And why? لَمَّا وَصَلْتُ إِلَىٰ حِمْسِ. When I got to حِمْسِ, جَمَعْتُ سُلَحَاءَ أَهْلِهَا. I gathered the pious of that place. وَوَلَّيْتُهُمْ جَمْعَ فَيْئِهِمْ. And I made them responsible for the dispensation of the revenue they gather. You know, one great scholar said, let it not be that the people donate their funds to you and earn their paradise, and you abuse their accumulated funds and earn hell for yourself. What did he say? Let it not be that the people donate their funds. It's easy. I donated it, I dropped it, and I'm gone. And he's got his paradise. And you abuse their donation and hell for you. That is why the scholars say the three people's regret will be the worst on the day of Qiyamah. رَجُلٌ لَهُ مَمْلُوكٌ صَالِحٌ يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ وَمَوْلَاهُ يَدْخُلُ النَّارِ. One is that master who reigns supreme over his slave. And he had authority. And he would just gesture and the slave would comply. But the slave was a pious man in his own capacity. Come the day of Qiyamah, إِن كُلُّ مَن فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا آتِ الرَّحْمَانِ عَبْدًا. إِن كُلُّ مَن فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا آتِ الرَّحْمَانِ عَبْدًا. It's not master and slave, everybody is a slave here. And the slave was pious, so Allah says, paradise for the slave and hell for the master. Can you imagine or visualize the regret and the pain of this master to sit and imagine, this was my servant and slave, subjected to my authority and my command, only to know he enjoys the embellishment and the palatial homes in paradise while I burn in the blazing flames of hell. This will be a very painful sight. May Allah save one and all. The second person is رَجُلٌ جَمَعَ الْمَالَ وَمَنَعَ مِنْهُ حُقُوقَ اللَّهِ. A person who amasses wealth. Reverse the scenario to the first one that I told you. In the first scenario, a man gives it and he's clear. You abuse the wealth and he goes to hell and you go to paradise by your donation. In this incident, it's a reverse scenario, but a common threat of abuse of wealth. So here is a man who gathers wealth and he doesn't spend of it. He amasses, he accumulates it, and he grows this massive empire, and then he passes on. And then his heirs inherit the legacy, and they say, I'm going for Hajj, and I'm helping these poor people. MashaAllah, brother, where did you get this money? My late father passed on, my uncle passed on, and I acquired this legacy, and I inherited this wealth. And MashaAllah, he left behind this handsome legacy, so I'm going to use this and perform my Hajj. So you didn't discharge your Hajj because you amassed it. Others came and used the wealth which you left behind and earned paradise. And the man who accumulated this wealth will go to hell while those who objectively use his wealth will go to paradise. Can you imagine the regret? It's like, but you're going to paradise on my gas. You're running on my strength. But brother, you're going on my shoulders. Well, that's life, my brother. You had the chance. You didn't exploit it. You amassed it and I took it and used it. And the third person then gives me a shiver in my body. It literally gives me a shiver in my body because of the role in which Allah has put me. رَجُلٌ عَالِمٌ سُوءٌ يُحَدِّثُ النَّاسِ يَنْجُ النَّاسِ بِعِلْمِهِ وَهُوَ يَصِيرُ إِلَى النَّارِ. Is that scholar who stands and blatantly advocates, which Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said, that, oh, the one who advocates, but he doesn't effect change in his life, is like a person who's asking for a boat to sail on land. You ask him for a boat to sail on land. It's impossible. It's not going to happen. You're advising people, and another place he gives the example. He says, you're like a man who has a laundry service. You're cleaning everyone's clothes, yet your own clothing is stained. You're washing everybody's clothes, but your own clothes are stained. So you're going to hear that man is going to paradise. And say, but Ya Allah, he heard my lecture and he changed. He said, that's the whole point. He changed and you didn't change. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. If you look at the context of this ayah, you will see the similar write-up has been mentioned in the books of tafsir. Be it as it may, when I gathered there, I didn't want to tarnish myself with funds. I didn't want to jeopardize myself with funds. So I told them, you dispense of your own funds. So I don't have anything. And I've got nothing to impress you with. When Umar radiallahu anhu heard this, he said, جَدِّدْ عَهْدًا لِعُمَيْرٍ عَلَى وِلَايَةِ حِمْسِ. Renew the contract of Umair to Hims for another year. We need more people like this in charge. We need a governor like this. We extend in his reign. So Sayyidina Umair radiallahu anhu said, هَيْهَاتْ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ شَيْءٌ لَا أُرِيدُهُ وَلَنْ أَعْمَلَ لَكَ وَلَا لِأَحَدٍ بَعْدَكَ. I'm afraid I'm stepping down, Umar, and you're not going to impose this on me. I will not accept a post for you nor for anyone else. Ubay ibn Ka'b, whom the Prophet said is the greatest qari of this ummah, he one day came to Sayyidina Umar and he said, why don't you assign a post for me? Why don't you give me some place to rule? And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, أَخْشَىٰ أَن يُدَنِّسَ دِينَكَ. I'm just afraid, Ubay, you're a clean man, we're a clean slate. If you take any position, it might just tarnish your faith or jeopardize your piety. Imagine a man like Umar telling him, and who rules with such a clean position. He knew how stringently he had exercised the rule above him. And he said, Ubay, really, I want to keep you clean and I want you to meet your creator clean. أَخْشَىٰ أَن يُدَنِّسَ دِينَكَ. I'm just afraid it's going to jeopardize your religion. Just hang on like this and make it through. Just hang on like this and make it through. So Umar ibn Sa'd said, I'm not accepting a post. And then he said, Umar, will you allow me? I want to go retire. And not retire in a presidential suite with all the perks and the luxuries and all the comforts and all the benefits. No, I will go on the outskirts of Medina and I will stay there. Umar said, good luck, go. It was an era rich with honesty where every man in his own way feared Allah. Every man in his own way was conscious of his creator above him. That is why Huzaifa ibn Yaman, regarding whom I spoke in my initial sentiments, he said, during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, I could close my eyes and deal with anyone. If it was a believer, his faith was of a caliber that it wouldn't allow him to lie. And if it was a disbeliever, the fabric of society would expose him so badly that he was compelled to be honest. The society was too clean, it will flush out people, expose those that are liars. It's too clean an environment. It won't contain, it won't love. Today we thrive on it. We thrive on it. You know, in Tanbihul Ghafilin, under the chapter of backbiting, there's an incident where some people were backbiting, and the Prophet ﷺ said that these are some people that have been backbiting us, and that is why the pollution in the atmosphere, air pollution. So somebody then posed the question in the write-up under this chapter in Tanbihul Ghafilin, if backbiting happened once in that golden era, and immediately you could feel the pollution and the contamination and the dilution in the atmosphere, Then why don't we feel it today, where we're so eco-friendly and we're so sensitive to the atmosphere and the emissions and the preservation and all these type of things? And the answer is given in that same write-up there, that it's not that we don't feel it, it's the entire planet has been so polluted that we've become immune to the pollution. We've become immune to the pollution, so we can live with it and we can thrive on it. It's like the cornerstone for us, it's the essence for us. Anyway, he excuses himself and he goes on the outskirts of Medina and he's living himself there. But again, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu wanted to keep tabs on him, and Umar radiallahu anhu wanted to monitor him. So Umar radiallahu anhu, arada Umaru an yakhtabira sahibah. Umar microscopically would analyze anyone. And Allah had given him this vision and this inner eye, this inner eye. Now you know, this is the more clean a person's nature is, the more pure his gaze is. The more pure his gaze is, and the greater the purity of the gaze, the more Allah favors him with insight and foresight into matters. So he doesn't have a shallow gaze. He has a deep eye. He looks beyond. So there is the narration in Isti'ab, right? Ibn Abdul Barr makes mention of it, that Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu is delivering the khutbah, and Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu is coming to the gathering, and on the way, inadvertently, unintentionally, his gaze strays onto a woman. And obviously he drops his gaze immediately. Obviously he drops his gaze immediately, and he doesn't obviously prolong his gaze, which is forbidden, and it's a sahabi, so he takes adequate measures. But unintentionally his gaze fell, and immediately he drops it. So when he comes in the gathering, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu makes a remark in the audience. He said, يَدْخُلُ أَحَدُكُمْ وَآثَارُ الزِّنَا بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ يَدْخُلُ أَحَدُكُمْ وَآثَارُ الزِّنَا بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ Some people make a subtle presence in the gathering, but I kind of see fornication dripping from their eyelids. Wow, my word, how clean that environment was. How pure that environment was. So immediately he stood up from the Anas ibn Malik and he said, أَوَحْيٌ بَعْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ Are the doors of revelation still open post the demise of the Prophet ﷺ? Like, are people getting revelation? Sayyidina Uthman said, لا ولكن فراسة صادقة. Nothing to do with revelation and everything to do with the divine foresight that Allah grants a believer. The divine foresight. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu wanted to, you know what, do a check on the man. So anyway, he calls a person by the name of Harith. He gives him 100 dinar. He gives him 100 dinar. And this is the area where every one of us falls in the aspect of monetary and money. This is the area where everyone falls. In fact, I must mention in the opening comments of the narration which Imam Bukhari has mentioned, there is a write-up in the books of hadith as well. When Sayyidina Umar said that, give me 3 sahaba and I will rescue the world, then he took 100 dinars and he called someone. He said, go give this to Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah and watch what he does. Stand aside and wait. And then come back and report to me. So he goes and drops the 100 dinars to him, and then he moves aside and he watches. Abu Ubaidah doesn't count the money also. He says, Ta'ali ya jariya. He calls his slave girl. He said, Kam ya. Idhabi bihadihi al-khamsa ila fulan, wa bihadihi sitta ila fulan, wa bihadihi tis'a ila fulan, hatta anfadaha. Take this 9. I know that neighbor hasn't eaten for 3 days. Take this 5. I know there's an orphan child there. Attend to that. Take this 5. I know there's someone ailing there. He had the full list of all the poor people in his community. And he said he wasn't excited. He didn't count. He didn't hoard. And he depleted that money immediately. This person came back, the envoy, to Sayyidina Umar. And he said, oh Umar, I'm blown away. He said, قُلْتُ مَا قُلْتُ When I said I only need Abu Ubaidah, it wasn't a thumb suck. I knew what I was saying. I had done my homework thoroughly on the man. But he doesn't end here. He said, take this to Mu'adh ibn Jabal. So he goes to Mu'adh ibn Jabal and he drops that 100 dinars there. Somebody give me an envelope. I'm waiting where nobody's looking because I need to start counting and calculating. My entire prayer is gone. My worship is gone. They say dinar. Move the dal away, it's nar. It's fire. Anger. In English they say, one letter short of danger. You find these type of finer things in both Arabic and English. If you're into language and linguistics, you'll appreciate what I'm saying. Take this and give it to Mu'adh ibn Jabal. He comes to Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, drops the money by Mu'adh. Ta'aliya jariya, O slave girl, take this. We're not even abreast with those around us, leave alone giving them. فَصَاحَتْ إِمْرَأَتُهُ نَحْنُ وَاللَّهِ أَيْضًا مَسَاكِينَ. So the wife cries out and she says, hang on Mu'adh, you're taking care of the poor. In case you forgot, we also the poor of this community. So he apologizes. He said, I forgot that we also haven't eaten. فَلَمْ يَبْقَ فِي الْخِرْقَةِ إِلَّا دِينَارًا. By that time, out of the 400 dinars that were given to him, 398 were down. He said, if you spoke earlier, I would have spared you 5. You spoke late, there's 2 left, you can have it. 2 is given. He comes back to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar is elated. He said, قُلْتُ مَا قُلْتُ. I said what I said with a great sense of conviction. These men were tried. These men were tested. These men had proven themselves that they did not represent themselves. I often say in many institutions when I have to speak, if you are part of the board of governors of that school, or you form the committee of that school, or you serve in any capacity in that school, purely and only for the duration that you have a son there or a grandson there, I'm afraid you don't represent this ummah, you represent your vested interests. Now I'm moving on. No, we retired. Why? Our children have moved on now. Now we need fresh blood. We need young talent. No, you were there for that period. Somebody asked me and elected me to be on a prominent body of a school and I declined. So brother came to me and said, Sheikh, you should have taken the post. I'm like, no man, at least your children's fees would have been reduced, man. I said, that's precisely what I didn't want to happen. How should I go there with that interest? How do I face my Allah on the day of Qiyamah? When Sayyidina Umar was in the throes of death, and then he dropped his head down, and then Ibn Abbas came and he said, oh Umar, you know what, we all have a lot of things to lament about, but you have everything to rejoice about. And Sayyidina Umar said, oh Ibn Abbas, don't rave about my accolades. Are you ready to repeat it on the day of Qiyamah before Allah? If you're going to say it before Allah, speak it now. But if you're going to say it now only, I don't want to hear it. He said, I will repeat it before Allah that you were a great man. Umar said, then I can sigh with relief. Then I can sigh with relief. So anyway, he goes away. Sayyidina Umar calls this man Harith. And he says, go to this person, Umar. Locate him. And when you find him, do a bit of homework on him. فَإِنْ وَجَدْتَ حَالًا شَدِيدَةً فَأَعْتِهِ هَذِهِ الدَّنَانِيرِ. If you see the man is living in abject poverty, he's breaking even, he's living below the bread line, he doesn't have anything to put on his table, then drop him this money, hopefully it will help him. وَإِنْ رَأَيْتَ أَثَارَ نِعْمَةً فَعُدْ كَمَا أَتَيْتَ. And if you see the lap of luxury and comfort and affluence, and everything is going great for him, then just sneak out and make your way back out, and don't make your presence known. He was smart, he was calculated, he was measured. He was sent by Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and he was deputed by Umar radiallahu anhu, and he knew how to conduct himself. You know the boy who embarrasses his mother? So he's like, they're going in the bus, and this woman who's really obese and big, and he's like, Mom, isn't I cannot ask you about this woman now, only at home? Like, don't talk of this in front of people. And the mother's like, where do I put my face? So anyway, he goes there, inquires, is there a man here, the former governor of Hims, Umar? Yeah. There's a small little dingy apartment there. He kind of lives there. We don't see much of him, but try your luck, you'll meet up with him. He goes in there, finds this man living hand to mouth, breaking even, in a very simple, basic, modest and humble structure. Brother, I am coming from Medina. Would you accommodate me? By all means, come in. كيف حال المسلمين? How's the believers doing in Medina? بخيرين. They're in great spirit. And this is it. In Sharia Aqaid, I read this somewhere on page 100 in the Hasha, and I stand for correction, but I know I read it in the footnotes of Sharia Aqaid, that when a Nabi is lowered into his grave, he's obviously not asked, who is your Lord? Because he introduced the Lord to the entire creation, right? I will be asked, man rabbuk? But a prophet is not asked, who is your Lord? He introduced Allah to the creation. A prophet is not asked, who's your prophet? He's the Nabi himself. So a Nabi is asked, in what state have you left your ummah and come? In what state have you left your ummah and come? Obviously Allah is aware of everything, but that's the question in which a Nabi will be left. And when you hear the pain of the Prophet Isa, Jesus, peace be upon him, in his cry and his supplication to Allah, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. You know, you can translate this, but you cannot communicate the passion and the sentiments. I give this example often, that a mom needs to excuse herself and she leaves the lunchbox for her son, and she leaves the food and the clothing and all the goodies and all the toiletries of her son. And she tells her husband, when my boy comes back from school, give him a love, give him a hug, give him an embrace, and tell him, here's the food, and that's in the oven, and there's the bread, and there's the drinks, and there's the beverages, and here's his bag, and here's his dress, and tell him I love him, and all is fine, and he can phone me. And she goes on very passionately, and when the boy comes back, and the dad is, listen, if you, your mom said you must look for this, and if you have a problem, phone her, okay? Yeah, I think your bag is here somewhere, I don't know, you can just look around for it, or ask your brother, or phone your mother, I don't know, somewhere here, yeah. It's like, oh man, I'm a father, right? I can communicate the sentiments, but I cannot translate the warmth and the emotions. In the very same way, my brother, I can say to you what Allah said, أَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ, where are you leaving me and going? That's the verse of the Quran. But the passion with which Allah says it, I can never say it. How can I say it? When the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in that hadith, where the Sahaba were gathered and they had captured a woman and she was a captive of war, and somebody had taken her child, and this woman was pacing up and down, and the sight was so emotional that it brought everyone to tears. And emotion is an amazing thing. I was just reading a book about the levels of emotions in animals, and recent research proves that animals are much more emotional than humans perceive them to be. Before Ramadan, I was in Kenya and I had some programs, and then we went to obviously the famous Masai Mara and the Serengeti, where you see the migration of the thousands of wild beasts over a river and a crocodile biting. And it's a spectacular sight. People have seen it on National Geographic. But we were fortunate to see it as an eyewitness and see it live and live it real. And to see a hunt of a lion, oh, that's a separate topic and I don't want to go into zoology and digress it, but it was amazing. Anyway, we've seen a fresh hunt. We've seen a fresh hunt of a lion over a zebra, a baby zebra. And then we've seen the vultures that were eating on the zebra. Take it from me, the mother zebra stood there and watched in pain for the entire period as the vultures were eating on this baby zebra, and it brought a wet eye to all of us that were there. That end of the day, this is emotion, this is feeling, this is passion in Allah's creation. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seen this woman pacing and she lost sight of her child, and it was so emotional. Finally, she seen her child, أَلْزَقَتْهُ بِبَطْنِهَا. She hugged him, she embraced him, she clutched onto him, and it moved everyone to tears. And the Nabi of Allah struck at that time. He said, أَتَرَوْنَ هَذِهِ الْمَرْأَةُ طَارِحَةً وَلَدَهَا فِي النَّارِ. You think this woman will ever shun this child and hurl him in fire? They said, no mother will do it, leave alone this mother who displayed such love and warmth. The Nabi of Allah said, لَاللَّهُ أَرْحَمُ بِعِبَادِهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ بِوَلَدِهَا. Now that you've seen what love means and how this woman loves her child, Allah loves you more than this woman can ever love this child. Allah loves you more than what you can ever imagine. So the point I was saying is, I cannot translate the emotion, أَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. I cannot translate the emotion. Anyway, to expedite matters and to draw it to a close, he comes there, he stays with him. After 3 days, somebody comes to this person and he says to him, you know what? You've really jeopardized this man and you've put him in an awkward spot. he is one of the poorest people of our community and you put up at his house for 3 days. You need to be sensitive to the man. Come stay by my house. The meager food he's provided you, he's actually given what him and his wife would eat over 3 days. فَلَيْسَ لَهُمْ إِلَّا هَذَا الْقُرْسُ الَّذِي يُؤْثِرُونَكَ بِهِ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ فَإِنْ رَأَيْتَ أَن تَتَحَوَّلْ عَنْهُمْ إِلَيَّ فَفْعَلْ. He said, Jazakallah, brother, point taken. أَلْقَ الدَّنَانِيرِ. He takes out the gold coins, he drops it there, and he leaves it. So Umair ibn Sa'd said, and what's this all about? He said, Umar gave this to you. He said, give it to him and tell Umar, really, I'm in a very good financial situation. I am very viable and all is going good for me. I don't need anything. Tell Umar all is good. So anyway, there's a bit of a scuffle and a bit of an argument and his wife hears this and she calls out and she says, خُذْهَا فَإِنِ احْتَجْتَ أَنْفَقْتَهَا وَإِلَّا وَضَعْتَهَا فِي مَوَاضِعِهَا فَالْمُحْتَاجُونَ هُنَا كَثِيرٌ. Umair, take it. Don't play such hardball, as they would say. Don't be so tough. We can help and give others and perhaps we could use few for us. Anyway, I dropped it and off I ran. Umair radiallahu anhu gathered it and he puts it into small packets. And فَمَا بَاتَ لَيْلَتَهُ تِلْكَ إِلَّا بَعْدَ أَنْ وَزَّعَهَا بَيْنَ ذَوِي الْحَاجَاتِ. And then he goes to the entire neighborhood and he distributes it to every person individually. I would be very happy to say, Allah has sent divine aid for my extended perseverance. Look at how Allah works in mysterious ways. Allah told Umar to send for me. That's how my mind would run. But these were people who were not selfish, but they were selfless. Who didn't live for themselves, but live for the Ummah. In English they say, a missed opportunity to give is surely a lost opportunity to receive. A missed opportunity to give. You missed it. You had a chance to give and you didn't give. You lost a door of receiving. You lost a window of receiving. You lost a niche and an opening. He comes back to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, what did you see? He says, he's living in an appalling state. He's really living in a crisis. Did you give him the money? Yes, indeed. What did he do with it? I have no idea, but I doubt he would spare one dinar for himself. Umar was moved to tears. He wrote a letter and he said, go and summon him immediately and tell him he must come back immediately. Umar radiallahu anhu dispatches the letter. He receives it and immediately he returns. Immediately he returns. Umar radiallahu anhu rahhaba bihi wa adna majlisahu, welcomes him, sits him down. Umar radiallahu anhu asks him, brother Umair, did you receive the money I gave you? Yes, indeed. What did you do with it? He said, Umar, you don't have the liberty to question how I have dispensed it and how I have spent it once you've given it to me. That's outside your jurisdiction. You are now interfering with something that is mine. He said, fair enough. I beg you, I beseech you, I implore you. Tell me what you've done with it. He said, اِدَّخَرْتُهَا لِنَفْسِي لِأَنْتَفِعَ بِهَا فِي يَوْمٍ لَا يَنْفَعُ فِيهِ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. I've invested it in a bank when I will need it the most, and that is the day of Qiyamah, when I know my wealth and my other assets will fail me and nothing will assist me. Dama'at 'ayna Umar. Umar started crying and he begged him. He said, please accept a post in the Muslim Empire. The world desperately needs leaders like this. Please accept a post. We need people like this. We need people like this. We have broad shoulders. They say true leaders are those who face the music even when they don't like the tune. True leaders are those who face the music even when they don't like the tune. He said, Umar, I told you I'm over with a post and I don't want to get into it. فَأَمَرَ لَهُ بِطَعَامٍ. Umar radiallahu anhu said, give him some food and arrange for some clothing. He said, أَمَّا الطَّعَامُ فَلَا حَاجَةَ لَنَا فِيهِ. Food, there is no need. But clothing, I'll accept it. My wife only has the one dress that she wears. فَقَدْ كَادَتْ تَعْرَى. She's now running short of clothing and dress, so I will take it. Then he took this and he went on. It wasn't long thereafter he passed away. Umar then attended his janazah and he cried. And he paid tribute to Umair ibn Sa'd by saying, وَدِدْتُ أَنَّ لِي رِجَالًا مِثْلَ عُمَيْرِ ibn Sa'din أَسْتَعِينُ بِهِمْ فِي أَعْمَالِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. I wish Allah can create in our likes and our ranks more people like Umair that can become my hands and my legs, that can become my feet, and I can deploy them and assist the crisis of this Ummah. We hope and we pray and we beg and we beseech Allah that even from these Sahaba whose rich legacy have been spoken, there was more I wanted to say, but I received a note and I don't want to offend the organizers and time is against us. The time that has been allocated and the rich lives that we spoke about, even if we can draw from every one of them one point and we can internalize that and effect that change, hopefully inshallah that will take us forward in a manner that will be constructive to the preservation and the advancement of the entire ummah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.